Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Roan. Cleveland Cavaliers have beat the Milwaukee Bucks. Colin Sexton looks absolutely fantastic. And to help break it all down is my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how's it going, buddy?
I'm sick, Justin, but I figure I could fight through it.
Carter, is this a bit? Do you actually sound that bad?
I don't sound that good, no.
You sound like you gargled your dog's throw up. You're serious right now. This isn't a bit.
Well, I got my nose plugged with some tissues, so that's probably contributing to the noise.
Jesus,
but.
I'm not putting up with this. You gotta go, man.
Okay.
All right, guys, we got a special guest today. Cleveland Cavaliers have beat the Milwaukee Bucks, so we are obligated to bring back my favorite fill-in co-host, Ty Windisch. Ty, host of the Eurostep, and as I said, one of my favorite co-hosts, fill-in co-host. How's it going, buddy?
Whoa, I went from the favorite fill-in co-host to a favorite fill-in co-host. I don't know what happened in those 4 seconds,
but you know, I must know what happened.
Wrong. What happened?
the PR part of me, the PR part of my brain just kicked in, and I'm like, oh man, what if Mort's listening? Mort would never listen. What if some of the other, what if Dave Dufour is listening and he starts to get his feelings hurt? Now he's big time. He wields all this influence. He's at the Athletic. Very happy for him, but I just don't want to get on his bad side. So I just had to kind of play the PR representative there.
That's smart. You know, you don't want Hollywood Dave, who I've been on his pod way back in the day. Not now, obviously, but way back in the day, worked with him a bit. Great dude. But yeah, he's Hollywood now. You don't want those connections to be used against you.
Yeah, you really don't. And I like that he's hosting the Nerd or She Wrote's podcast, but it was really impressive when he would do his own podcast. Like sometimes he'd even just go on his own and answer mailbag questions. That's damn hard to do for like 30, 40 minutes. I don't think people realize the degree of difficulty to there, but we're not here to talk about Dave. He's had enough time in the spotlight. We're here to talk a little Cavs Bucks and the rest of the league. So you got the firsthand experience of the sex man tonight, Colin Sexton, with another clutch showing, another win for the Cavs. And, this is a thing. I am 100% comfortable saying that I was wrong about Colin Sexton. And that scares me because I am consistently wrong. And by saying that I was wrong, I don't know if all of a sudden he's just going to shoot 30% for the rest of the season.
You want a question for me to open up this podcast?
Sure, go for it.
Let's say we're redrafting the 2017 NBA draft plus Colin Sexton. Where does he go?
Redrafting which one? This
2017, not this year. 2017 plus him. So Fultz, Ball, Tatum, Jackson is the first four.
Oh, man.
He's got a case for like top four, I think, right now.
Wow, that's let me just Google and filibuster a little bit. So, like, obviously, I think you take him over Fultz. Fultz had crazy potential, but
I still think he does. By the way,
me too.
I'm one of the few who I'm like, I hope he goes to Orlando, gets some playing time outside of Philly, and everything that happens there. Like, I think he could be good. I love that deal for Orlando.
Yeah, and I was advocating for the Cavs to trade for him if his value was low enough. I mean, people were talking about trading Korver for him and that was potentially possible. Obviously, you're taking him over Josh Jackson. Yeah. Jason Tatum, you take over him. Laurie, I'd probably take over him. not Frankie Smokes or Dennis Smith Jr. Donovan Mitchell, I would take over him.
Yeah, Mitchell is one. Like Bam,
man,
I think
you're
is a
right.
Good case, but it's like top five, I would say. Harry Giles has been fun, but Jared Allen's pretty good. Jared Allen went later. Kuzma's good. He went.
Oh, late. Yeah. I forgot about Jared Allen. I wasn't scrolling down too far.
There's some later guys who are pretty good in this draft.
But also, like some of these guys, like OG Anunoby, very nice, solid player. For where the Cavs are in the rebuild, you want a guy that can absorb usage, and that's where this is kind of trending towards. I had referenced it on the last podcast, but I saw the specifics. So apparently Colin Sexton, after a loss, took 750 shots trying to work on his jumper. And in the week, I guess they track how many shots guys take in practice because they track all of this crap now. I think they said, let me just scroll for it. Out of the 9,000 shots that were taken, 3,000 were Sexton's.
He's insane. I hope you're ready for Kobe to try to corrupt him. That's coming soon. He's got the Mamba mentality. I'm going to have him work with me on my next kid's book.
Now, I forget who I saw tweet this out on Twitter, because now I'm just regurgitating and aggregating, but that's fine. But someone had mentioned that I don't know if working out with Kobe is necessarily a bad thing. Maybe we just overrated Jason Tatum.
Okay, yeah. I mean, potentially. I think that whole Celtics are so weird, man.
Like, they're just looking for someone to blame. And you know what? Tatum's still been good. I think people were just jumping to anoint him as a Hall of Fame or just a little too early. Like, this was a guy that took all of his shots basically wide open within the flow of the offense. He was great in the playoffs, but growth isn't always linear. And to assume that he was going to be an all-star this season, I think was just a little short-sighted.
The video of the guy who does the good Bill Simmons impersonation talking about Jason Tatum is still one of my favorite things ever. You're telling me how else I can have prime Michael Jordan for his career or Jason Tatum? I'm going Tatum.
So good. Yeah, no kidding. Another guy from the 2017 draft that's good and deserves a shout out at least is John Collins.
Yeah, and finally, Monty Morris, 51st overall.
Ooh, I do like Monty.
I like Monty a lot.
Monty's the type of guy that I would like with the second first-round pick that the Cavs have this year, like just an electric guy off the bench. That pick's going to be really interesting to me because I don't know how difficult it's going to be because people aren't super high on this draft. It might be possible for the Cavs to kind of move up and, like, if a guy like Nazir Little is available at 16 or something like that, maybe the Cavs are going to be able to trade some of their either future assets or expiring picks, take on salary to move up. Like, I'm just excited about the Cavs, and I did not think that I would have this much excitement towards the end of March this season.
I think you guys being the Cavaliers, obviously not on the team or in the front office yet, have had just about as good as possible a year for losing like a guy like LeBron like the summer before. I don't think it can go much better because you're not going to win a title, right? You just know that. You couldn't win one with him last year. It clearly wasn't going to without him.
Right.
But you get the good players like Love and TT stick around but miss enough time for you to be dreadful and get a good pick, and the young guys develop. Like, there's not much more you can really ask for, and you get some assets back for some of the like middling veterans. Like, you can't do much better.
Yeah, like they are going to have a higher position in the lottery than they should, given the talent that is still available on this team. Like, they traded off the veterans, but as you mentioned, Love and Tristan missing time, it's kind of a blessing. It's a blessing in disguise, and they could potentially go into next season looking a whole lot better.
Would have been a blessing for the Bucks if they missed just a little bit more time. Would have been nice.
Hey, in the last week or two here, I got to say, they've beat the Raptors. They've beat the Bucks. You can't convince me that the East doesn't still run through Cleveland.
It runs through Cleveland. That's all there is to it. I'm just disappointed we didn't get Bonzi Colson minutes.
No. Oh, man. I'm looking at the scores right now around the league. I see that Chicago is up 7 on Washington with 3 minutes. So this might actually just... It won't remove because people still love to complain, but this will shut up some of the people that are complaining about Sexton playing very, very damn well, costing them potentially a 1% chance at any of the top four draft slots. So that's certainly something to get worked up over. The other thing you can get worked up over is this Boston and Philly matchup, potentially a future playoff series. Philly finally getting the win over Boston, and maybe some of the talk of Al Horford being the Embiid stopper were a little overstated. 37 points and 22 rebounds for Joel Embiid. 21 free throws, got to mention that, but shot 50% from the floor. 4 assists, a block, a steal. good God. People that want to liken Horford's impact on Embiid to what Tristan Thompson does to Horford, just stop. I don't want to hear it, man.
No, I think after this, you got to put that one to rest for a little while. I think the East is good, man. Like, the bottom of the playoff team stinks, but the top of the East is very good. Like, and the thing about it is most of the teams here are going to get better. You know, yeah. Milwaukee with Giannis. Like, I don't think Giannis has peaked yet. I mean, this summer is obviously going to be really important to see what they do. Philly has this core that they can keep if they want. But, I mean, at the very least, they'll keep Embiid and Simmons, who are going to be good.
Yeah, and I think it's a given that they're going to keep Tobias Harris at this point. Jimmy Butler is kind of the one question mark, but I still think this is a hell of a good team with Tobias Harris, Jimmy, and or not Jimmy, Ben and Embiid.
Oh, I mean, for sure. I was talking about this on, I think, Eurostep with Kane on Monday. It's like they're not getting the most out of these guys, and you just can't. I mean, they have four guys who – all are at their best when they have the ball a lot. And you can still play well like that. It's not like you can't win like that, but you're not going to get like 100% of what you can get every night out of Tobias, Joel, Ben, and Jimmy Butler if they're all playing. You know, it just doesn't work. And you can still be very good. And like the Warriors, they have two guys who don't really need the ball in their hands to be good, and that's why they're like so fucking good. But the Sixers can still be great like this, but it's like, you could probably put in a role player for one of those quote-unquote stars, however you want to define it. I don't know if Tobias and Jimmy count or not, but and they'd still be really damn good because you just don't need that much out of, you know, your fourth starter.
Do you think Philly is going to regret the Butler trade? Like, do you think they would prefer to have the guys? Because I've seen people say that they're going to regret the Tobias Harris trade as well. And that one I don't really see because I think he really does kind of fill a need for them. He's just a much, much better fit than even Butler is, even though Butler is the better player. But do you think that's going to be something that they regret just with the benefit of hindsight?
Well, I mean, I think it's one of those where when you look back like years from now or maybe even after this playoffs, you're going to say, oh, well, you know, Jimmy will not score that much considering he's Jimmy Butler. And, oh, if they had Covington starting, their defense would be better. Sarge off the bench, they'd have a better bench player than Mike Scott, who led them in bench minutes this game. Again, no one on the bench made more than one field goal. Scott was 1 for 6. Obviously, it would help to have Saric there instead of him. I mean, Boban played 5 minutes. He's unplayable most games. Jonathan Simmons, who people really tried to convince me was good, got a DNP CD, so he's really tearing it up. But I think you could look back and say, like, yeah, probably. But at the time, they don't know they're going to be able to get Tobias Harris. Right. And I feel like if you can trade two role guys for Jimmy Butler and, you know, maybe it works out that you're the best team in the East after that, I think you almost have to try it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And it is it's only in hindsight. I mean, they gave up a lot for Tobias Harris. And I guess the argument is, hey, if you're giving up that much combined for those two players, maybe you could have got a guy that fits a little bit better. But I do think, I mean, Tobias Harris, he'd be an all-star in the Eastern Conference if he played all year. Like, he probably would have gone in over D'Angelo Russell in terms of, if you're only considering what they had done up to the all-star break. But, yeah, it's one of those situations where I think they're going to have to get a little creative in the future because they do need to round out that roster. As you said, Jonathan Simmons hasn't really been a whole lot. I think from just a strictly this help this season perspective, maybe they would have rather had Korver for Fultz and Simmons, but I can't even remember exactly what they what else they got in addition to him, but I guess it just wasn't a fit for both sides there.
No, and I just don't know what is in the Philly water. I mean, Zaire Smith missed most of his rookie year with some sort of weird, like, allergic reaction. I actually saw him play in Oshkosh with the Delaware Bluecoats, and he was fine.
I hear they bring down swelling with leeches. I think that's
something like that, man. Philly. We're just lucky they haven't just, like, cut someone's leg off to, like, heal an ACL or something. Man,
yeah, it's a bit of a mess. In terms of the playoffs, though, like, which of those teams do you trust more? Do you think Boston can kind of flip the switch? Because they do have a notorious switch flipper, my goodness, that's a bit of a tongue twister, in Kyrie. But the rest of their roster is a little bit of a question mark. Like Philly won by 3 tonight. They probably win by 13 if Gordon Hayward played. what's your thought on how those teams will match up in the playoffs?
I think in the play, I mean, it's probably dumb, but in the playoffs, I feel like I always kind of look at like who's the best player. And it's easy to just go with and say that it's Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
But man, if Joel Embiid keeps doing this when his team needs it the most, I mean, he was insanely good against Milwaukee too in a game the Sixers pulled out. I mean, Giannis is 52 points and his nice threes got a lot of the press after that, but Embiid was phenomenal. He hit the game clinching three. I don't think there's anything that the Celtics can do about that guy. And that's just like, and he had 8 rebounds and 7 assists in this game too. Oh no, I'm looking at Simmons, excuse me. He had 22 rebounds and 4 assists, but still he can move the ball a little bit. He's going to get turnovers sometimes because he's so high usage, but
hey, man, that one playoff series where Embiid had a fractured face, I think you can hold on to that forever.
Yeah. And also, it was like, what, his like second full year in the league? Like, the guy is really, really good.
Well, I mean, it essentially was his first full season because he only played like, what,
31 games.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was his kind of maiden voyage to the playoffs. And, I mean, the Tristan Thompson jokes, we did that because that was 4 straight years of regular season and playoffs. It's not the same damn thing. I know Boston fans are going to say, oh, this was their first win against us all season, but this is a different Philly team than when they played early in the season. As we mentioned, they've made some kind of noteworthy acquisitions there, and I think this is probably not going to be a matchup we even see in the playoffs, just because it looks like Boston's kind of content to be in that 4-5 matchup while Philly's going to stay at 3. So unless we get an upset, which I don't think Boston can upset the Bucks, your Milwaukee Bucks, this is probably all just in hypotheticals.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. Obviously, the Bucks thing right now is injuries is the number one thing. I mean, they had either 7 or 8 guys, depending on one, if you count two-way player Trayvon Duval, 2 if he was hurt, which I'm pretty sure he was. He didn't play in the last hurt game either. But, I mean, obviously not a real factor. They probably had 5 to 6 guys who really matter who were out, Giannis being the first and foremost, and obviously Mirotic and Bledsoe as well. Or not Bledsoe, Brogdon, excuse me.
Sounds like excuses, man.
Excuses.
We only got a half of Kevin Love. One half of Kevin Love is essentially a full game of Giannis, so I don't need to hear this.
And the other 5 guys. But, no, I think, you know, Giannis is relatively healthy. I mean, his ankle's sore. He twisted it in the Philly game, and he's out a couple games. Honestly, I'm all for that. I don't think most of this regular season matters. The magic number right now for the Bucks to lock up the 1 seed is 8 games, and that's with the Raptors. You know the Raptors are going to choke a bunch of games for no reason down the stretch because that's what right. They do. So, and, you know, Kawhi will just, like, take a week off or whatever because – do we have a reason for that yet? Do we know? Are they saying because he didn't play much last year? Is that why? Or is it just to be ready for the playoffs?
What's that?
Do we have a real, like, a stated reason why Kawhi doesn't play 30% of Raptors games?
Well, it's because he's using this year as conditioning for the Clippers. Yeah, the
Clippers. It's like,
that's really what it comes down to. I mean,
it's kind of inexplicable to me.
It's inexplicable to everybody. It's the weirdest damn thing.
And no one talks about it like that. Everyone's just accepted it. Like, yeah, he's going to sit out 3 of every 10 games. It's fine.
You know, Toronto might be the perfect spot for him because he can just be a weirdo like this and nobody's going to question anything. My thing with Toronto, and I've gone on a million times about this, so I don't want to repeat myself too much, but I think the biggest problem is Nick Nurse. Like, It really, really concerns me that if I was a Raptors fan, I'd be concerned that his strategy is, okay, what does the other opponent like to play like? Okay, so I'm going to change my lineup so we play the style that the opponent is the most comfortable with. We have no identity at all. Some games Marc Gasol is going to come off the bench. Some games he's going to start. Some games he's not even going to come in until there's like a minute left of the first quarter. And this is probably like Marc Gasol and Kyle Lowry, like they're probably really, really similar tiers, but he doesn't care about maximizing his roster. And I just, to me, Toronto is fraudulent. I absolutely do not believe in them.
My favorite thing is Jonas Valanciunas bawling the fuck out in Memphis while Marc Gasol still scores 9.5 points per game. That's insane to me.
It's definitely a good sign that everyone that leaves Toronto is playing better and everyone they acquire is playing worse than before. Like, I mean, even Jeremy Lin looks worse than he did in Atlanta. That should be a massive pickup for them. That should be a guy that really makes a difference because he's been one of the better bench scorers over the last couple of years when he's healthy. It's not exactly panning out that way. I know he had 20 against the Knicks, but geez, it's just one instance after another, and it makes me think it's a little more than a coincidence.
Yeah, two things on this that interest me a lot. One, just on the Raptors in general, I'll hold on. The first one, though, I think your point about them playing to their competition is huge because I think good and definitely great teams make you play to them. I mean, the Warriors are the easiest example because they're so ungodly good right now. But, like, they don't give a shit what you're going to do. I mean, a little bit they do if, like, they're really – but not really. I mean, they can go small with Draymond and just blitz anybody. And it's like there's no one in the league, I don't think, except for some of the very good Cavs teams who would go big on them. But nobody else. And then maybe, like, the KD Thunder, but that's about it.
Yeah, but even then, like, when the Cavs beat them, they were dictating the pace of play. Like, the reason they won was because they threw Golden State off to some extent. Like, right. And that's what you should do. You should maximize the players you have. And I just can't think – I can't even think of a conference finals team that played without an identity.
I mean, yeah, even like the old Raptors, it was pretty like with Dwayne Casey, you knew what they were doing.
Yeah, you knew that it wasn't going to work, yeah. But you knew what they were at least.
I still think firing him was kind of a bizarre. Like, I just don't really know what more you expected from him when like either DeMar DeRozan or Kyle Lowry is your best player, and you go up against LeBron every year.
I don't think they would have done it if they knew they were getting Kawhi.
I don't either, and that's why it was a terrible decision. That's why you know it's literally just we need to do something or we might look bad. Were people in Toronto really that mad? I felt like Toronto kind of understood.
Oh, no. Toronto really didn't like Dwayne Casey. And man, just looking at it now, yeah, their offense is worse this season than it was last year. And how,
they didn't even
how
have future GOAT. They didn't even have future GOAT Pascal Siakam on the team.
Right. Pascal's a completely different player. I understand Kawhi's sat a bunch of games and Lowry's missed some time, but he always misses time. But like even like adding Danny Green, they're just a better team. This should not be a worse product on the court, and that's what they've been all year.
Can we talk about – oh, no, one other thing. Someone asked me this, and I had to think about it, but not for that long. Right now, you can pick between you have on your franchise for like the foreseeable future, or whatever, Siakam or Tatum.
So, to me, I'm still in Cavs building mindset. Like, I just want guys that can absorb high usage. I still think Tatum is somebody that has all-star potential.
Yeah.
Siakam, I mean, it's tough though because like he can theoretically be almost like a Draymond Green type, that someone that's able to defend multiple positions, that is just disruptive with his energy. And man, that is tough. Right now, Siakam is obviously the better player, and maybe if I'm cheating and I'm talking just for the Cavs, I would say I need to wait until the draft lottery, because if I got Jetty and RJ Barrett, I'm going to be taking Siakam there.
See, at the time I answered, and I was like, it's tough. I don't know if it really is. I'll take Tatum. He's so much younger. Like, the numbers are similar. The one thing that gives me pause is like the jump Siakam took from last year to this year. Like, if he has – he won't jump a similar amount. He'll be scoring like 30 points per game next season. But, I mean, if he keeps getting better from now.
But he's also 25.
Exactly. That's the thing. And Tatum is like 4 years younger than him.
Well, he's perpetually 19, so that's the thing. He's going to get proportionally younger as time goes on.
You can't say no to Jason Tatum because he's literally 19 forever.
I mean, that's the type of investment that just really pays off. I mean, if you could guarantee me that as he stayed 19, he would stay on his rookie contract forever, then it's no contest, man.
Absolutely. And it's he's like, you know, Matthew McConaughey's girlfriends from whatever movie that was. Just staying the same age. Stay in a team. That's what you want. All right. All right.
No, all right. I have no idea what you're. Now I get.
Yeah. The all right. All right. All right. All right. Yeah.
Now.
That was a terrible impression. Delete that.
I thought there was some movie where Matthew McConaughey had multiple girlfriends that didn't age, and I was like, what?
That seems like
that's what you were referencing.
Seems like a weird movie.
Really, really weird movie. You're going to segue to something more interesting, though, and we got a little bit sidetracked.
I was?
Well, you said you wanted to talk about it, and then you're like, oh, wait, before I talk about that.
Oh, I'm the worst. I don't remember what it was.
You are the worst. I mean, you warned me before the podcast. That I mean, last time you came on, we got really, really caffeinated, Ty. This time we got like, what, 6 beers deep now that we've started?
Seven beers deep.
God damn. You're an animal. You're an absolute.
In case anyone from my workplace is listening, we're like 5/7 of a beer deep.
Ah.
So gotcha. Far. Wink, that's wink.
I feel you, man. Is Siakam your most improved player?
Yeah, I don't think it's that hard, is it?
No.
Who's up there with him? Fox and Russell?
Yeah, D'Lo is the other one. Oh, well, God damn it.
The Wizards good last year, though.
Wizards just put the game into overtime. That's a bummer. Oh,
God, I can't imagine anything more depressing than like going to a Wizards game and it goes to overtime.
Yeah, especially against the Bulls.
Nobody deserves that. Nobody deserves to endure that.
What happened there?
What did Russ? Oh, I guess Russell went from a 15-point guy to a 20-point guy. I could. He's making a case for it because he's been amazing lately. He's led the league in games played, according to Basketball Reference, so probably still true.
It wasn't until like later in the season where he really blossomed. Like I feel like it was after the Dinwiddie injury,
yeah,
where D'Angelo really kind of established himself. Whereas Siakam, it's been just a consistent force all season. And
well, it's almost I've heard. I don't know if people just got sick of him. I've heard less from him. I feel like lately, I haven't watched a Raptors game in a little bit, to be brutally honest. He's still got decent numbers, good numbers. I mean, for him, very good numbers. But
yeah, they're I'm in the first to see quarter. They're in the probably a bad night to talk about this. First quarter just ended for Toronto. He's got 10 points, 5 boards, 2 assists on 5-7 shooting.
Give it to Siakam. I've seen all I need to see.
Yeah.
I think he made more of a jump, so I could see giving it to him. This is such a weird award for me to talk about.
Right. It's like, oh, man, he didn't suck enough last season, so we can give it to him. It's just such a weird concept for an award.
Do you want to hear my all-time hottest, most improved player award take?
Yes.
I thought his best year ever, and you'll know the one I'm talking, I think it was 15-16, I thought Steph should have won.
Oh, I saw that. You went that hipster route? Because that is such an obnoxious tape. And you know what? Here's the thing. I love that take from Warriors fans because they talk about how good the team was in 2015, 2016, and mocked, oh, well, if Kyrie and Love were healthy, blah, 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 blah. And they acted like that was the team they had in 2015, and that was the team that was in the 2015 finals. And then they also act like Steph took this massive leap, which he did.
He did.
Klay took a massive leap. Draymond took a massive leap. They were not the same damn team in 2015. But depending on what narrative they're pushing, they'll go with, oh, no, they were that in 2015, or Steph deserved to be the most improved player. But I'm disappointed that you went with that hipster take.
We mentioned this on the legendary Discord channel today. I mean, I've been a Steph and Warriors proponent for a while. When I was at Hoops Habit, a fan site I used to write for, shout out to Hoops Habit and all the people there grinding. One of the first quote unquote beats I was on was Warriors, and I'd requested it specifically because this was like late 2014, early 2015, so before they won the first title in this era.
And like, because they pay for views, and that's a good team to write about.
Hey, you know what? I was on the Pistons beat before. We don't have to get into the numbers. It was a good decision for me.
Well, I believe anyway. I wrote for there too. So I know how it is, but continue.
But I just like really, I love the way that Steph played, and I still do. It's more boring now with KD there, obviously. It's such a bummer, but I just thought, like, he was obviously – it's kind of a stupid take. I mean, the guy was MVP the year before, but he was, like, incredibly better the year after. And I thought just going from, like, a good MVP season to one of – and at the time, he did falter a bit down the stretch, like 3/4 of the way through that season, he was even better. He got banged up. And I don't know, everyone always points to Steph. Oh, he, of course, he was banged up. He did get hurt and miss some time and came back, and his numbers went down a little bit. But before that, he had, like, just stupid efficiency, ridiculous numbers, like his threes. Like, you'd see every day on the timeline, there'd be a new thing. Like, Greg Monroe's open dunks are less efficient than Steph Curry's contested threes or whatever. And it's just like the guy was out of this world. And I just felt like going from 23.8 points on a, you know, really good shooting numbers, pretty much unseen at that point, to 30 points on even better shooting numbers, lead the league in steals. Like, he did improve a lot. I thought it was super impressive. And then, of course, he loses in the finals. So it would have looked extra stupid now if he had won it and then LeBron and company beats him in the finals.
Oh, that would have been great. If not only on top of him being a unanimous MVP, he also was most improved player and then blew it. I mean, that's – I've been able to appreciate it a little bit more now, now that we're further removed. But that's probably one area where it's probably been difficult for a lot of Cavs fans to appreciate how good they've been, myself included. But it really is impressive. Like, that's the cool thing, is that the Cavs beat the team that arguably has a legitimate claim to the greatest team ever assembled. And that's pretty damn awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks that so many people around the NBA intelligentsia, or whatever we like to call it. I think Carter likes that term. Because
I love that term.
How douchebaggy it is. Makes sense that you would like it then as well. That it just sucks that, you know, people don't, I feel like, give the Cavs enough credit. And obviously I'm preaching to the choir on this particular podcast with that. But
yeah, it's a good one to go on.
It's true. But no, I mean, they beat a team that won 73 games. I mean, that's absolutely incredible. And, you know, it had one of the best single season guys ever in that Steph year and everything else. And they had
Any idea it was coming, like, before the series? Did you think there was a chance? Do you think there was any chance of an upset?
I thought it was over after 3-1, probably even before that. I mean, I was totally riding the Warriors. I mean, I wasn't, like, outright rooting for them, but I enjoy watching teams that are, like, historically good. So I was, like, taking in this whole ride. And I was sort of at first, when you kind of feel the Cavs coming back a little bit. I still didn't buy it until, like, game 5 or 6 probably. But I was almost frustrated at first. Like, oh, man, like, are they really going to, like, ruin this season? And then it kind of clicked for me, like, oh, wait, this is even better. This is even better than the team winning 73 and then winning. This is like the team wins 73 and then LeBron, who, I mean, we could talk for 6 hours about his complicated legacy, but a LeBron team is going to beat these guys after everyone counted them out like twice at the beginning of the series. And then when they were down 3-1, especially, like, what a moment. What a great, there's no sporting event I've seen in my lifetime that I've watched, at least, that's been anywhere close to that game 7, in my opinion. I think it's, like, probably the greatest finals ever, if you consider everything that went into it.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's nothing more fun than a great upset. And you know what? This is the time of year for upsets. And just because you didn't see that one coming doesn't mean that you can't cash in and predict other great upsets, Ty. Because whether you're, like, filling out a bracket, picking out a national champion, predicting first-round upsets, or all of the above, MyBookie is your perfect home for your March Madness fun. Will Zion Williamson and his teammates cement their legacy at Duke with a title? Can Virginia get past its loss to a 16 seed last year? And can Kentucky get back to the Final Four? I always stumble over that can Kentucky. I don't know how you do with your reads, man.
Kentucky, I'm up and down with them. I try to – Kane lets me do them all. It's like my one part of the podcast, but I'm okay.
It's a struggle, but I'm getting better at it. Reading has never been a strong suit, but I just keep – pushing forward and it works out. But if you know the answers, or even if you don't, MyBookie is the place to get in on all the action. They have something for everybody, even you, multiple bracket guy.
Even that guy.
That guy sucks.
I hate that guy.
MyBookie has been in business for years. Their goal is to give you the best customer service in the business. And the best part is they pay out fast when you win. I'm talking within 48 hours. My goodness, I almost over
48 hours?
48 hours, Ty. Wow. I almost overpromised for them. That would have been bad. Bet with the best, then kick back and enjoy March Madness while you watch your picks cash in. Deposit with MyBookie today with promo code BLUEWIRE for a 50% sign-up bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE with MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid.
What's the promo code?
It's BLUEWIRE, man.
Oh, it's BLUEWIRE. What a good word.
Ty, can you think of another podcast that is on the Blue Wire Network that people should know about?
Yeah, this great Light Years? No, I'm just kidding. I mean, that's true. But the Eurostep podcast is obviously one that I'll plug that I host with Kane Pittman, all Bucks all the time. I'm sure we'll probably break down sobbing talking about the Cavs game when we record tomorrow, but we'll see.
The nice thing about that podcast is it corrects how people pronounce that word, because it's spelled gyro. And a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go get a gyro. But it's a euro. It's a euro.
Yeah, it's for sure a euro. We actually had a dialogue, a discussion about, like, should we pronounce it gyro so we can say it without clarifying how it's spelled? And Kane, in, like, beautiful, blunt Australian fashion, was like, no, that's stupid. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Good call.
What are other ones that people get caught up on? There's, like, the faux pas thing.
I've seen people say faux, like F-A-U-X. I've seen people say that fox.
Yeah.
It's a rough take.
That is a tough take. I mean, there's a bomb-ass faux fa place right by my work.
Which you mean that way?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, see, I don't even know. I live in Oshkosh. We don't have access to that here.
Yeah, we got a nice one right by my work that's called Faux Mama's Noodle House. And I know it's supposed to be pronounced fa, so I'm like, are they just like counting on white Winnipeggers being uncultured? Which is probably the case.
Yeah. that's great. Also, I feel like white Winnipeggers is like it's like an oxy, like it's implied. Like duh. No offense to Winnipeg. I'm just kidding.
We're pretty multicultural. You know what? When Carter makes his trip up to Winnipeg to watch the Jets in the playoffs, you might as well just stop in. I mean, we're basically next door for you, man.
Yeah, I mean, Oshkosh, Winnipeg, it's cold in both places, so they're probably like an hour away.
Man, speaking, you talked about Jonas Valanciunas earlier on. They're going to overtime with Houston. How the hell is that happening?
Oh, wow. Houston came back. They were down a significant amount.
Yeah, Jonas got 30-12. How about that?
Good thing they traded him for 9.5 point per game, Marc Gasol. I tuned into the stats here earlier because I wanted to slander Harden because I saw they were down to Memphis, and I was like, oh, maybe he's doing that thing where he gets tired. But no, he's been phenomenal. He's got 47 points and 7 for 14 threes, 12 for 12 free throws. What a monster. I'll put this on the record again. I won't be super upset if Giannis doesn't win MVP.
Mm-hmm. No,
like
no.
as a Bucks person, like yeah, it would stink because he's been great. But like Harden's been absolutely phenomenal, and I mean I couldn't hate on it at this point. Like he dragged that team to where it is. Obviously, without him, they'd be an absolute dumpster fire. And he's just been like the things he's done on offense. Like I've written this before. Like strictly offense, he might be the best offensive player ever. Like it's stupid the things he can do on that end.
Right. No. I completely agree. Like to me, it's got to be Giannis. And I think last year even, I think people were looking for a reason to not give it to Harden. Just because like it's not fun to watch, and it's the thing that's driven me nuts with Harden too is like you get the slow starts to the season, especially this year. Like. He just was not playing well. And part of the reason he had this great miracle run where he's just playing out of his damn mind again is because he put them in a hole by being out of shape coming into the season and he played himself into shape. Like, I think that has to count. Like, Giannis, from start to finish, has been absolutely phenomenal. He impacts the game on both ends of the court. And, I like, to me, the story of the league, at least the story of the Eastern Conference, was – who's going to step up with LeBron not being there? And it's been Milwaukee. They have the best record in the league. And I think it has to be Giannis.
Giannis bringing a literal notebook to take literal notes when he met with Kobe is like a top, especially if Kobe wasn't involved, is like a top X number adorable thing in the world.
No.
If it was anyone but Kobe. Not Karl Malone either, but if it was like Shaq or something like that, then it'd be more adorable.
Right. No, I completely agree. So we got a firsthand look at the dominance of Chris Middleton tonight. Are you full all in on Chris Middleton? Because I was a little horrified. We had talked about it in our Discord chat after Sean Woodley came on and was like, yeah, Bucks fans hate Middleton. Are you in on Middleton? Because like, I'm more a big Middleton stan. I had been saying that he's better than DeRozan. And I think you got a good one heading into the playoffs there.
No, I think so too. This is something again, Kane and I talked about. I'm gonna plug my own podcast.
Please
podcast
do.
With
Please
Wanton Abandon. This one's gonna sting for you. It's a Warriors thing, but they talk about 16 game players versus 82 game players, and I think Middleton is a 16 game player.
Yeah, that was the Draymond quote, right?
Yeah, it was a Draymond quote. Like, we're more interested in 16. I think it's about like probably Iguodala, who doesn't try most of the year and then is good. Like,
And then the flip side is guys like Kyle Lowry, where good averages over the course of a year, and can they elevate in the playoffs? And honestly, like, there's some interesting. Sorry to sidetrack here, but
no, go ahead.
There's some guys that we're going to find out. I mean, you got Rudy Gobert. He's had his issues in the playoffs. Can he elevate? We're going to learn for the first time what Nikola Jokic can do. This is going to be a really interesting year and a kind of a litmus test for guys that are they just great averages over the course of an 82 game season? Or are they guys that can make adjustments when other teams start to game plan them in the postseason?
Jokic for me is the biggest question mark. Just on Middleton, like, I think he's very good. I think they should pay him. I mean, it's going to be a lot, but I mean, he's a very good player. They don't really, especially after the Bledsoe extension, they don't really have an avenue to add other guys. I was just talking in the Discord, like, oh, they could go get D'Angelo Russell if they let Middleton go and trade, you know, either one of Snell or Ersan, but you don't want Bledsoe and D'Angelo Russell, in my opinion. And I'm still not convinced that this D'Angelo Russell year isn't at least a little bit fool's goldy.
I get that vibe.
It's a lot of long twos. A lot of mid-range shots, which is – those don't always go in at the same rate for guys. So we'll see about that. But I think they keep Middleton. I think he's very, very good. Like, I think he's a 16-game player. I mean, he was unbelievable against the Celtics last year. So I'll roll with him, at least see the playoffs first. But I think he's going to be good. But I'm a little worried about Jokic in the playoffs, to be honest with you.
So you think Denver is a potential first-round out?
I don't know about first round, because, I mean, who's seven right now? Like, who are they going to play? I'm not a huge fan of the bottom of the West. I mean, it'd have to be someone who could really pick them apart. So right now,
it's Utah. So you get the ultimate matchup of the two centers.
I think the Nuggets would beat Utah, personally. But I think a team that would, like, stretch the floor is what could really expose them. So that's why the Nuggets are kind of lucky. I mean, the team's battling at the bottom there, like, Clippers are, like, fine, but I don't know if they have the talent to beat Denver. The Jazz are going to – like, they're not going to stretch you out, really. Like, they're not – like, if they – the Jazz, quote-unquote, stretching you out is when they play Derek Favors at the five. So it's not like they're really going to run you off the floor with Derek Favors. And then
– right. Out of those two, I mean, God, Denver would actually be the team that would stretch out Utah.
Right. So I think Denver, honestly, like, there's a lot of memes, but, like, if the Lakers don't lose Bron and, like, a bunch of other guys and stay decently good – I'd be a little worried about them if I'm the Nuggets. Even the Kings, who like to run up and down the court, like, the Kings could have maybe made things interesting for them. But just based on matchups, I think the Nuggets go to round two, and then I start to be concerned about the rest of the teams that are left.
Right. Well, I mean, at this point, if we're looking at the current standings, they're likely going to play Houston in the second round, and that's just not going to go well for them.
That's curtains. Yeah.
I don't think you even hold that against them. But you look at this first round in the West, the potential first round. Warriors are just going to wax the Clippers. That shouldn't be a contest. I think Denver handles Utah. Houston should handle the Spurs unless Harden has a meltdown.
Ooh, and then that would be so fun for Spurs fans if they won that series.
Oh, that. At that point, you take away Harden's MVP if
yeah, that series. Yeah, all of them.
Which I actually saw today that the Spurs are having their best offensive season ever this season.
I give up with saying, as long as Pop coaches them, they're a playoff lock. I don't care. I don't give a shit who's on the roster anymore. That's stupid. That is stupid.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. LaMarcus Aldridge, Rudy Gay, and DeMar DeRozan. It's the same player in three different body types, and somehow... somehow they're bringing mid-range back. They're making it sexy. My God.
Rudy Gay has actually become like a really nice 3-and-D wing there. Like, I think he's going to stay there for a while. But the other two, they do. They play the same game they always have. I don't understand. And they're actually like their net rating. I'm not saying they are better, but their net rating says that they're better with LaMarcus sitting most of the time, which is kind of weird, maybe a little just perturbing, but who cares? Like, I refuse to question Pop ever again because I was with a large group of people before the season, you know, hand-wringing, like, they don't have any shooting, they're not going to be able to score, we're nerds, we know better than Greg Popovich, and They're 42-29, and they're really good. They've won 9 of their last 10. So I'm, at this point, I'm like, sure. Sure, of course they are.
Know what that made me think of? I mean, no shooting. What other team have we thought of? What? How good would the Lakers be with Pop?
Oh, my God.
And I don't even think Luke Walton's the problem, but
so do you want to know, like, before the sad, one of the saddest signings for me ever?
Oh, actually, hang on. Before sure. you go there, keep that in your mind.
Sure, sure.
I'm going to clarify, not Pop coaching the Lakers, Lakers roster in San Antonio, because I think you need to get the hell away from Magic.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good point. No, this is kind of tangentially related to that. One of the saddest signings ever was when the Spurs gave Powell that huge contract, because the Spurs were my sleeper team for him to leave in free agency, whatever summer that was, like before that. And I was just like, I didn't think it was like really a realistic thing. I mean, like, LeBron is not going to go to, like, he left once to go to Miami. He left once to go to I don't think the Spurs were really had a shot, but just like in my heart, just to watch Pop coach LeBron, I was like, I would do anything for that. I think that would be so much fun.
Ty, I have an important announcement.
What's that?
Bulls beat the Wizards in overtime.
Oh, there we go. Congratulations.
Yeah. So whoever was worrying about that win for the Cavs, you don't have to do that anymore. I just freaked the hell out of my dog.
He almost freaked the hell out of me. I almost just yelled. As far as weird things in the league, the Knicks are now the worst team in the league. In my opinion, it's not close. Utah put up 137 on them. That shouldn't be possible.
That really, really shouldn't be possible. And it's not like they have that terrible of a roster.
I think they have a lot of guys who, like,
you know what, honestly, I think that's just me looking at DeAndre Jordan, even though I'm not a huge DeAndre guy, and be like, hey, they added him.
The problem with DeAndre is, like, he took 4 shots tonight. They only played him 18 minutes. They played Kevin Knox 47 minutes in this game. Why? Why? What? Fizdale, come on, 47 minutes?
Oh, man. Kevin Knox is just not good. You know what? I'm retroactively affected.
27 and 8 and right now.
I don't care about him.
In 47 minutes.
I'm retroactively pissed off that he made Rising Stars over Sexton. I want a formal apology from the NBA, and I want Sexton to be higher on all the all-rookie team.
It's tough. See, the reason to circle back to the beginning here, the reason I asked you about 2017 is just because I think this draft class was just really good.
It is really good.
That was my first thought. Like, can I be chipper and say he'd be top whatever in this draft? And I looked at the draft and I was like, no, I could not.
Did you hear Carter and I kind of talking about redrafting this year, whether or not Sexton was the right pick?
I think for you guys, who else would you take?
Well, that's what I'm asking is, who picked after Sexton this year are guys that stand out to you being like, okay, that's someone that the Cavs might regret drafting Sexton over? To me, there's not really a glaring one. Like, Michael Porter Jr. was a guy that I was very high on, but, I mean, he's got a degenerative back issue, meaning that's not going to ever get better. So I'm just out on that.
I think one of the Bridges guys might end up being good, but I have no idea which one it would be. I like Herder, but I feel like, I don't know. I mean, it's like, it's Kyle Korver. I think I'd rather have my shot at Sexton. No offense to Kyle Korver or Herder. I like Okogie, but I like Okogie as a guy who's like, I'd love for him to be like my fourth guard. So probably not him. Like, I like the guys who are monsters on defense. I'm such a fan of that. Mitchell Robinson's the one guy who, like, I think goes up a lot in a redraft, but I think I'd probably take Sexton over him. I think he's going like top 10 though, if you redraft everyone, but I still would go.
Really?
Sexton. Yeah, I think so. I think there's 10 guys who I think there's not 10 guys who I'd rather have in this draft than Robinson.
Yeah, I guess I could see him kind of at 10. I mean, this was a really solid top 10. Like, normally there's like a Jimmer that stands out right off the bat, or even a Stauskas.
Just singing the words to Mo Bamba for no reason.
Good point.
It's early. He's been banged up. I'm not going to write him off yet. The Magic will trade him and he'll be awesome. So
yeah, there maybe a little Jan Vesely vibes there.
Yeah.
Not a natural comp, but just as a player that's just not
Bull Bull 1.0.
Yeah. Man, Bull Bull. Hey, maybe he's going to be available. Maybe he falls. That would be fun.
What's up with Darius Baisley?
I don't. You could have made up that name. If you made up that name to test whether or not I will just make something up, I would hold that against you forever.
No, I didn't. Darius Baisley is an interesting case because he was going to be the first guy who didn't go to college to play in the G League. And then he signed with Clutch Sports and said, wait, fuck this. I don't want to do it with the G League.
Right.
He's taking a one-year Under Armour internship for $1 million. I have so many questions about this. What is he doing at his internship? Is this like a lame internship where he gets coffee? Or does he get to do like actual projects at Under Armour? I want to know these questions. Like, I want to know if I should recommend other people to the star basketball player 18-year-old Under Armour internship or not. Like, I hope he gets real responsibility there.
He probably just runs like a burner Twitter account and defends Steph Curry all day.
See, it's interesting that he's at Under Armour, but he's signed with Clutch Sports.
Yeah, that is. Maybe who's he a mole for? Is he a mole for Under Armour or for Clutch? The Clutch signing came first, right?
This is some departed stuff. Yeah, it must have because Rich Paul got on the job.
This is very departed. What's his name again? Let me look here.
Darius Baisley. I'm looking at the latest mock draft right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at the big board to see where we got Mr. Darius. There he is. He's at 42 on the ESPN.
Ooh, bad move, Rich Paul.
Nah.
That's tough.
Yeah, that's that ain't a hot look. That ain't great. But
no, he was a pretty highly regarded prospect from what I can remember beforehand. Man.
They got Brandon Clark at 22. I swear to God, if he's available for the Cavs' second pick, I'm just – oh, that would make me happy. That made me
– I know so little about draft prospects.
I know very little except for what our friend Trevor Magnotti tells me.
Yeah, he's great. He's great.
I mean, it's funny that I'm actually losing track of Canadians. Like, there's just so many prospects that are coming up every year. There's going to be, like, a guy that's off my radar. And I was like vaguely aware of Clark, but then I forgot that he existed. And it's just fun, man. There's a lot of them.
See, I feel like it's almost the same feeling like what I have for Wisconsin, like affiliated players. So a guy who went to high school in Oshkosh, I think now is at Iowa State, and he's doing pretty well. And I'm hoping he gets drafted this year. Tyrese Halliburton and Deontay Burton, who's a Milwaukee guy, just got signed for the rest of the year with the Thunder. He's played pretty well there. And so I'm fist pumping now. We lost Diamond Stone, which was tough for us, but I think we're rebounding nicely here. And Tyler Herro will probably go either this or next year. That's another Wisconsin guy. Although apparently Wisconsin hated him after he decided not to be a Badger and sit on the bench for 2 years. So,
did you fill out a bracket this year?
Yeah, I took Duke.
You took Duke, eh?
Yeah, so they're for sure going to go out in the second round. Last year I took Virginia. A couple of years back I took Michigan State when they lost before the Sweet 16. So, Duke. Sorry, Duke.
I rode the Virginia thing as well. I got burned by that. I got bad burn was the Otto Porter year where they lost in the first round. God, that sucked. I got Gonzaga winning this year.
That's fun. That's a bunch of guys I've never heard of.
Yeah. I mean, I've watched very little college basketball. This is that time of year where a lot of people act like they're experts, but there's no way that you can be an expert on this many teams.
So I tried to do that one year. I just tried to become like a jump-in draft guy. And I think that year I was like, Denzel Valentine's going to rock and Jaylen Brown's going to be bad. And ever since, I was like, no, I'm not gonna put up this facade anymore. I think Zion will be great. I don't know anything about anybody else, and I will not until they get to their teams.
I picked Duke to lose in the Elite Eight because I was checking the Cavs score, or I was checking the box score the other night on the Score app, and they have like this chat section, and some guy was saying, hey, he was proclaiming to be some sort of betting expert, and he has got an inside info that Zion's going to throw it. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to ride this.
Could you imagine if that happens? He came back from injury, not for his teammates, but for his gambling obligation. The Zion Williamson story.
You know what? He really is Michael Jordan. Has Zion got his dad killed yet?
I took it somewhere mildly spicy before, and I'm so glad that you came through and took it somewhere spicy. I'm so glad for that.
You can get spicy at the end of the podcast. There's probably like 10 people listening, but for those... For those that still are, I apologize on behalf of being a truth teller.
Never apologize, Justin. Why are you booing him? He's right.
Exactly. Well, Ty, I really appreciate you coming on, filling in for Carter while he's apparently very near death.
Ducking me.
Man, yeah, he's ducking you.
We did a podcast like 2 weeks ago, but we're going to ignore that fact.
Yeah, I said he was gargling his dog's vomit in an attempt to avoid you. So I wouldn't recommend avoiding you, though, Ty. I like you. And for our listeners, don't avoid the Eurostep. Check it out. Ty's doing great work there. And if you want to hang out with us, we have a lot of fun in our Discord chat. It's a real great spot for Cavs fans to just kind of hang out. And you know what? It's the fun thing too is we got some fans of other teams that are in there now, and it's a good fun space. So if you want to take part of that, what you got to do is you're going to leave a review for the Chase Down podcast. Hopefully 5 stars. I'd really appreciate that. And take a screenshot of the review and email chasedownpod@gmail.com. If you don't have iTunes, I guess do it on Stitcher or we don't have a high standard. Just send us an email. But we would prefer if it came with a review, because it really is the best way to help us grow. So leave a rating, leave a review, subscribe if you haven't already subscribed, unsubscribe if you have subscribed, and then resubscribe. Help cook those books, because iTunes formulas are very flawed. So thanks again to Ty. Thanks to our listeners. Until next time, go Cavs.
I guess.